You can hear the back by the Kalangana? You can hear it? Okay. It's always a great honor to associate with devotees who had extensive association with Srila Prabhupada. I had relatively very, very little association. And Giriraj Maharaj spent a lot of time with Srila Prabhupada in India. Especially after 73, Prabhupada was spending lots of time there. And Prabhupada made statement like Bombay. Well, now we call it Mumbai, but Bombay is Giriraj. And we were talking earlier, especially talking about Jamuna Devi, and then actually those devotees who particularly have that type of association with His Divine Grace, they have a certain presence, like Mother Jamuna had a real spiritual presence. And I mentioned to Giriraj Maharaj what recently when I was in Mayapur, probably last year or maybe the year before, with Bhavananda Prabhu, and he said how Prabhupada once said that you're all pure devotees who Krishna has sent to help me spread Krishna consciousness. And Bhavananda said, well, sure, Prabhupada, we committed so many sinful activities in our past lives, how could we, before we came to Krishna consciousness, what do you mean that we're pure devotees? And Prabhupada, that's external. So of course, it's not an excuse for anything, but I think devotees can appreciate those devotees have almost a spontaneous type of affection or attachment to Srila Prabhupada. You see sometimes when you have reunions. We had recently was, what year? Must have been 40th, right? 40th of Radhananishwara. And how, even though devotees may not be active for a long, long, long time, and may not appear like they appear in the pictures, but you see them in with Srila Prabhupada, but still they have this sort of natural attachment to Prabhupada that transcends whatever it is that they're doing or whatever. Which is a real example that ultimately the ultimate principle of Krishna consciousness is to learn to love Krishna, and to learn to love Krishna by learning to love Krishna's devotees. And that attachment to Vaishnavas is a very, very powerful thing. I'm just looking around, in a way it's no point in looking around, because I was looking around for a verse this morning where I was talking to Krishna Purna and sons. And Lord Kapila Dev says, the only time you know the verse, Atmano Kaveyo Vidhu, but I don't know the first line, Saeva Sarishu Krito Mokshadvara Kavita, something like that. That attachment to that same attachment that is the cause of material bondage, namely family members and so on, when directed towards the devotees of the Lord, becomes the gate to liberation. So you see, Radhanath Maharaj comes through here often, and that's sort of his anthem or Mahamantra, is learning to care for and be attached to Vaishnavas, devotees. That was what Giriraj Maharaj had mentioned earlier, how Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said that who's greater, Lord Chaitanya or Krishna? Actually, the devotees are the greatest, because Krishna ends up serving the devotees. Devotees serve Krishna, but by being surrendered to Krishna in that really wonderful way, that which I think is very useful thing for us to keep in mind. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. That's what really pure devotional service is about. And Srila Prabhupada said, this has always been my motto, everything for Krishna and nothing for me. It was like that when we joined Krishna Consciousness. You saw Prabhupada's form. I know in talking with Tejas Prabhu, he was the temple president in Delhi for a long time. Did he come here? He went to Radhadesh and he was giving this series of talks because he wanted to write a book about his experiences with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had a different formula than it was 75% to the DVT and 25% for the temple construction fund. And then how you eat, that's your problem. This is what you do with the results of the life membership, and then the other things you take care of. And devotees went through a lot of austerity. Of course, things have moved on since then. But still, that overall spirit or that overall mood is also what was very, very attractive. So what attracted devotees to Krishna consciousness was selfless service. The idea that, yes, everything should be for Krishna. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to manifest. It was an easy thing in those days because you didn't have anything. So, we joined and we moved into the temple, and there was no such thing as having personal possessions. I remember when I moved into the temple, then there were big different. Barrels. And for instance, one of them was the laundry barrel. So that's where, we did someone did the laundry, and of course the ladies had theirs. I don't know what they had in their barrel, but we had the men's, and there were kurtas and dhotis in there. Of course, at that time they didn't have real dhotis, it was just cloth. And you just got up in the morning and you went over into the barrel and you took out a kurta, none of which had buttons, and you see those. I'm always embarrassed. When Prabhupada was in Montreal, I was standing right in front of him, and if you see, my chest is right open because there's no buttons on the kurta. Plus, it was too small, and you just put it on, and it didn't belong to anybody. And then in the evening, you put it into the dirty laundry, and then the next day you just put on another dhoti and another kurta, and so no one had anything, and you slept on the floor. I mean, mattresses were maya, not to speak of beds. There was no such thing as a mattress. It was a sleeping bag, and you sleep in it. And now we have, especially when devotees are not living in the temple, but we have houses and cars and all these things are in our name and land and everything. And then it's one thing is to speak the philosophy. Our philosophy is that everything belongs to God. But when everything's not in God's name, then it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing is, but how are you practicing it? Show it. How does it really work? And ultimately it works in your consciousness, but are we really that Krishna conscious? So that practice of Nirmama Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, nothing is mine. That's what Brahmachari life is about, at least that you get that type of taste where I have no possessions, I have no control over my life, I'm just a slave. Now that type of thing that Prabhupada said, if some guru or GBC now said 50% for here, 50% for there, what you eat, that's your problem. There'd be the police knocking on the door, and you were reported for abuse by your disciples, you better come in with us for a little talk. And that wasn't all. Srila Prabhupada was very, very, very demanding. And it wasn't that he was just asking this of sannyasis. He was asking this of women with kids, with little babies. He says, get on a plane and go to India. Mahati with a two-year baby and just wander all over. India 40 years ago is a different thing than India today. It was like, you open the door in the plane and you're sick. You don't even have to get off the plane. You just breathe the air. And it smelled different at that time than it does now. Everything was, it was very, very austere. Very austere. Very austere. These were Prabhupada said, Giras Rasa Prasaya, I will not comment. I was in some very, very embarrassing situations. It was very, very austere conditions to live in at that time. And Prabhupada was very concerned, but what can you do? Ultimately, that was his vision. Krishna first, and then nothing for us. And that's what really the inhabitants of spiritual world, that's how they function. They don't live like that because they have unlimited wealth and opulence, but because their consciousness is like that, then it's all right. Today I had a long talk with Kripamoya Prabhu, and I was asking him about his experience, and so he was saying, he had his operations, and then he's sort of clear from his cancer now. It's a regular checkup, but so he said that for so many years, 40 years, he's talking about, I'm not this body. But when you're in a situation where you're in a life-death situation, then you really know just exactly how far your realization is. And he said that it's a shocking experience to know where you actually really are from what you're actually speaking about. And so, yes, Krishna, if you're Krishna conscious, then you can do anything. Like Arjuna, then you can go on a battlefield and you can do so many things. But if you're not Krishna conscious, then you need to do a lot of those externals. And for that reason, we have our devotional service and practice, Vaidhi Bhakti, how we practice devotional service and maintain at least those minimal rules that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Otherwise, then it becomes theory. So how does the theory become realized? Because we use this word, I had a realization. What the word realization means, that's something that's debatable. In other words, we have some kind of intellectual reaffirmation, but this realization, you're not this body. We're talking about that. Yogis, gyanis, they develop this yogic city where they can actually in. Not me. They can insulate themselves from their body. So in other words, they don't feel pain. It doesn't seem like that's what happens to devotees. In other words, being transcendental to this body doesn't mean that you don't feel pain. Because there's the risk. We don't want to fall prey to mystic cities, yogic cities, something that we depend on. Well, I'll practice yoga, then I won't feel pain. Pain's a horrible thing. We all have experience of pain to some degree or another. Either you hit your finger with a hammer or some kind of longer-term pain from illness and so on. No one likes pain. But it comes because that's what this body is about. It's about pain. And if we insulate ourselves from it by some kind of yogic power, we'll become attached to that instead of being attached to Krishna. We'll become dependent on that instead of depending on Krishna. But depending on Krishna doesn't mean you don't feel pain. Depending on Krishna means that you remember Krishna. You think about Krishna. In whatever situation we're in, including a painful situation. But for that, we have now not painful situations, but we see that the situations where we're not in difficulty are intoxicating, because the tendency for conditioned soul is that now we don't think of Krishna. The tendency is to go off into all kinds of other tangents. So Kunti Devi says, Vipadashan tutasya svatatratatratratkuru. The reverses in life, the difficulties in life, are real instruments in making us Krishna conscious, because then we're forced. Because the nature of a conditioned soul is when life is good, then he wants to enjoy. And so at best, what we're doing is constantly battling with this enjoying propensity, rather than proactively absorbing ourselves in thoughts of Krishna. But ultimately, when the time comes, then we need to be able to think about Krishna. I mentioned this to someone. Over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, I regularly visit my mother, most like twice a year now, by the grace of my cousin who pays for the airplane tickets. And now she's 97. She's 96. She's going to be 97 in a month. And she's got arthritis, she has cancer, she has pulmonary, what's it called? Pulmonary, doctor, when you have a difficulty in breathing. Anyway, and plus she's got heart problem, and so all she talks about is how good it would be if she could actually die, leave her body. And the only thing that's in perfect condition is her brain. I was going to say something else, but I shouldn't say that about my mother. it's in perfect order. So, in Vrindavan, our next door neighbor was Archavigraha or Archamurti. Archavigraha. She is a South African artist. You see her pictures of Srila Prabhupada, once with where Prabhupada's chatter is the Mahamantra. And just at the same time, she just started building the house so that Giriraj Maharaj lives there. He lives there in the top. She's his disciple. And she came there. She had cancer. She's a very nice lady. And she was taking chemotherapy treatment for some time in Delhi, and then she stopped because it wasn't doing any good. And we used to go over with Govinda Maharaj. Well, he more than I, because he spent much more time there than I did. But we would go over and read to her and talk to her. And I remember one day when I went over and I came in, I said, "So how are you doing?" And she was explaining her realization, and she said, "You know, I'm really in extreme pain. And I was praying to Krishna to become, so that I could leave my body, so that I wouldn't be in pain. So that I came to the realization that that's not right. That desire to be free of pain is, when we say, jnana karma jnana vrittam, jnana, or the desire for liberation, doesn't want to mean that we want to merge. I don't think devotees have much of a desire to become merged into the impersonal Brahman. But the reason that jnanis want to merge into impersonal Brahman is because they don't want the suffering of the material world. So this desire, freedom from suffering, is an impurity. And to pray to Krishna to become free from suffering is an impurity. So we can't want to go back to God because I don't want to suffer. Artha jignasu artha tigyan. So one of those people are those who are suffering in the world. It's all right to come to devotional service with that, but that's not a method of perfection. So she said, I realized that this is not right. She says, Krishna's not going to let me leave my body any time earlier than I'm supposed to, and he's not going to let me stay any later than I'm supposed to. I'm going to go. And she said, now that I've accepted that, it's made me peaceful. And it's helped me deal with the pain. Jayananda Prabhu was, I don't know how I got on this pain trip, I'm not. Jayananda Prabhu was someone who had leukemia, and he was in great pain. And he wouldn't take any medication. He didn't want to risk not being able to think about Krishna. So, but that, the real issue, the real thing is that I can't remember what the real thing was. How do we get here? Is that ultimately Krishna consciousness is, we need to take advantage, yeah. We need to take advantage of these opportunities. And if we don't, later on we're going to wish that we did. But if we don't become purified, now when we have all the time in the world, then Krishna's going to close the vice. And Krishna has absolutely no sympathy for our material bodies. As much as we'd like him to be sympathetic, his desire is that we go back to Godhead. And so we need to take advantage of that. When someone leaves the body, like Mother Jamuna, you know, you just lay down and you just pass away quickly without any apparent pain, chanting japa, that's like ideal. It means that you've really done your work. And if you don't do your work, then it can be extended out. You know, sometimes people, it takes months, years. So Srila Prabhupada, more or less 6 months, not because he had any particular karma, but because Srila Prabhupada was showing us that even if you're in this situation, and we may well be in that type of situation. So when we went for Gaur Purnima in 1977, Prabhupada gave one class, and that was it. That was the only class he gave. After that, he was too ill. From then on, he wasn't in the, either in Mayapur or the Vrindavan part of the festival. And then up until November, Srila Prabhupada was suffering. But he never complained. He just accepted it. And not only suffering, but laying down. He came to London, and then he went back, and he went through some inconvenience over there. So there's certainly no guarantee, but definitely the moments and the hours that we have now are really invaluable. Good health, youth are invaluable opportunities for practicing Krishna consciousness. Maintenance, education, these things you need to just sort of live in the world, but they're not our real business, they're not our profession. Our profession is making the best use of every moment to become Krishna conscious, because there'll be at a certain time when it's not so easy anymore. Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to quote that verse from Maharaj Kulishekara. This is, when I get older, it's more difficult. There was a time when I just come in here and sit down on the floor and start playing the harmonium. And I got to sit down and fool around with cushions for half an hour, because sitting's a problem. Right now, I'm uncomfortable. There's lots of cushions here, but cushions don't make for comfort, because they don't replace your body. And that's what happens. As older you get, the more difficult the very basic things get, and they start to distract your consciousness. Become just, the natural tendency is that your mind just goes into these other different directions instead of going on to Krishna. So that's why Prahlad Maharaj is Komara Tacharat Prakya. So Komara, even at that boyhood. Start your Krishna consciousness then. Don't waste time. Because at a certain point there'll be no more time. And you need to really be taking advantage of, or at least getting the proceeds of our investment, rather than at that point investing. And that's it's a nice mantra. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Easy to remember, pretty difficult to do. The Prabhupada said, this is my mantra. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. It was also another topic we were talking about with Giriraj Maharaj. It's a topic that often we discuss. When we get together, is how well is this message going to filter down? Because everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Because Srila Prabhupada's presence was extraordinary. It wasn't that devotees were so austere, because they were austere. We didn't come from austere backgrounds. They accepted all of these things because of Srila Prabhupada's influence, and that influence was so powerful that it didn't even have to be direct. You didn't even have to meet Prabhupada. You could just hear about him, you could just see his effect on others, and even sort of his physical presence on the planet was discernible. If you're connected to him. And it's what actually made those people who were from middle class families, who weren't beggars, sleeping on the floor and everything for Krishna. They never thought like that before in their lives. All of a sudden it's everything for Krishna and nothing for me. Before it was everything for me and nothing for anybody. But that's how we're taught to think. So in Srila Prabhupada's absence, and no one can really compete with that type of presence is there. I remember when because Jamuna Devi came to England, and she was in England for a year and a half, 2 years. Does anyone remember? You were here by then.
She was at Chaitanya College or the Manor? No, she was living around near the Manor.
She was in South England. She was staying in this some kind of particular building. Yeah. And So I remember after she'd come to see when Bhagavan was there, and they got this property, and she was writing the cookbook, and then she went to America, but she stayed for quite some time. But she first came down, she came to Chaitanya College, when she came to Chaitanya College, and we had some talks, and it was in the evening, I think it was a summer evening, and I must have been the president. I greeted her. And there were a whole bunch of devotees there. And I offered my obeisances to her. And everyone was like really shocked. I heard that from the GBC afterwards. What are you doing, offering obeisances to a woman? But that association with Srila Prabhupada and her personal presence, her own Krishna consciousness, so it was obviously coming from a previous lifetime, is very strong, and that inspired many, many people. So how will that continue on through the generations, that type of same mood for Krishna consciousness? I mean, you're all here, a lot of you here, 10, 15, 20 years, you've seen the kind of changes that go on. And the changes isn't that the changes are sort of going in directions. In other words, diverting from those things. We divert from things that we did before. The society diverts from some things, and sometimes it comes back on track and it goes in another direction. The maintenance is very difficult. And maintenance is based on, one thing is it's based on goodness, but it's based on really embracing Srila Prabhupada, because we're not just here to be Krishna conscious, we're not just here to give a Krishna consciousness movement or Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There are dozens of versions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what to speak of a Vaishnavism. But we're meant to be representing a particular brand of Krishna consciousness, and that brand of Krishna consciousness is what Srila Prabhupada gave. And it's not just even philosophy, because philosophy is the easier part of it, but it's the whole idea of the mission, how the mission becomes successful. As Giriraj Maharaj was saying, this thing about preaching, which Srila Prabhupada said a lot, repeated, he says, if you want to know the secret of getting Krishna's attention, then you preach. And Prabhupada was, I mean, all throughout his Grihastha life, he's constantly non-stop preaching. Even his godbrothers, for instance, Sridhar Maharaj, who lived in his house in Calcutta, who was a sannyasi, Prabhupada used to take him, he used to push him to go out and